Enthusiasm. That's the currency of the kingdom, isn't it? We do everything enthusiastically, and we do it with our hearts and our sleeves rolled up, and we get stuck in. And we are here for a reason, for a purpose. We're not here to sip martinis on our father's yacht. We are here for a job, to disciple our city and to disciple our nation and the nations that God has called us to. That's why we exist. That's why the church is here. Jesus said to his disciples, if after 3 years you got nothing else, get this. Go and make disciples of every. That's what he said. He left it. He said, if you've forgotten everything else I said, remember this. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them. That's that process of discipleship. Teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And he said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. You want to feel the presence of God close? Get involved in somebody's life. Start discipling. And it's one to one. It's not a crowd. It's one by one. And so that's how we do this. It's a process. But every believer doing what God has called them to. And so we spoke just a brief recap from last 2 weeks ago. We spoke about hearing the voice of God. I know it didn't make the cut to get onto the the internet or something. I don't know. I think Russell got his fingers involved. I'm just saying it wasn't anybody here. And he said shut down before save, and so we lost it. But anyway, I'll quickly give you the quick rundown. It's two scriptures, two perspectives on hearing God. First of all, that God has got a lot to say about you. He's got a huge amount to say about you. Psalm 139 and verse 17 and 18, that was on the board outside there. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I'm still with you. That's a beautiful psalm. It's actually a beautiful psalm, 139. But that passage, the thoughts that God has toward you. You know, in a relationship, if you have thoughts toward somebody, it's pointless if you just have thoughts but don't vocalize them. You know, like that guy that, you know, typical Englishman, I'm generalizing now, and we have the same problem at home. He said to his wife, I told you that I loved you on the day we got married, and I'll let you know if things change. You can't live your life like that. You got to tell the person that you love, that you're in love with, that you love them. Every day, lots of times a day. Okay, Englishman. Don't get all stiff upper lip and I can't get in touch with my emotions. Of course you can. You can say the thoughts that you have toward a person, you speak them out in a relationship. And so, yeah, good ones. Yeah, just make sure you make sure they're good thoughts. And God is the same. He's in relationship, in covenant relationship with us because of what Jesus has done on the cross. He opened the door for us to have a relationship with him. We're in covenant relationship with our God, the Almighty. Think of that for a little while. And if we're in covenant relationship with him, and he has thoughts that are far more numerous than the grains of sand on the sea, on the beach, if he got those thoughts toward us, he's going to be speaking them. And so it's not when we say, oh, God, what are you trying to say? It's not God trying to say anything. He is saying, we are trying to listen. And so it's important for us that we pay attention, because God is speaking all the time. And he wants to speak, and he has a lot to say. So that's the first perspective that we chatted about 2 weeks ago. The second one is that I can hear his voice. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So God speaks. We listen. But he has a lot to say, and we actually can hear him. with our spirits, with our heart. And so many times we overthink it and we miss what God is saying when we try and rationalize it using our brains, our rationalizer. You use your heart. Amen. And then there are three ways we just threw out that he speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his word. Word pops out. He speaks to us through his word. Some of us, he speaks through numbers. Hey, Paulie. Through prayer and meditation, the second one. When we pray about it, he speaks through prayer and meditation. And then he also speaks through confirmation. Confirmation from others, from our leaders, from people that are praying for us. He speaks through confirmation. And so it's important that when we thinking we're hearing God, that we bring what we think we're hearing, we bring it to those that care for us and love us, the shepherds of the flock, the pastors, the elders, bring it to them and say, I'm thinking of this. What do you think? Just submit it. That's all it is. It's not a permission. You're not asking. You're just asking for a perspective. And that's good. It's healthy because that helps us hear the voice of God. It helps us know that through the confirmation of others, that's God speaking. It's a good place to be. Safe place to be. Not a law. You don't have to, but it's clever. It's better to because we stay safe that way. So I'd like to speak today on us becoming a prophetic people. Because that's what the church is meant to be. God has made us to be a prophetic people. And prophetic people do three things. They see the future, they prepare for the future, and then they become the future. So that's what prophetic people do. Just you memorize that, then you got it. You see the future, see what it could be. You see the future, you prepare for the future, and you become the future. So when we read our Bible about the future of this world, about the future of our city, about the future of the nations, we know what's coming. We see the future. There's a judgment coming. There's a catastrophe coming before the judgment. It depends on how you look at it. And there's different, but the fact is that this isn't going to carry on forever. And there's going to come a day of reckoning when all men will stand before their Creator. How do I prepare for that day? Make sure that this is sorted. And then make sure I can take as many people as I can with me. That's how we prepare for the future. That's what being a prophetic people is about. Seeing the future, preparing for the future, and then becoming it. I tell you, nothing will set your Christian walk on fire as much as when you are engaged with somebody and you're teaching them the things that Jesus taught and you bring them through on a journey of discipleship and you see them serving Jesus. Nothing will ignite your faith more than seeing that happen. And you know what? You will have a sense of God's presence in your life like never before, because he said, if you're doing that, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And so, friends, you don't feel God's nearness on your lazy boy. Ken's got four, I've got to say, because I've been on them in his house. If you ever been in their lounge, if everybody put their lazy boy beds out, they would all touch in the middle of his lounge. So, but you don't hear God on your lazy boy. You hear him on the job. You hear him when you are moving. And so when we want direction from God, it's not like he will speak and then we do. It's like steering a bicycle. Ever ridden a bicycle? You know what happens if that bicycle's not moving. You can't steer it. It's just going to be stationary. You're not going anywhere. You got to be going somewhere, and then the steering, you can steer and adjust the course as you go. But you got to be going. You can't be waiting. And so, a prophetic people sees the future. They see the future. They prepare for the future, and they become the future. Now, as a young believer, as a young man, my in long ago, I'm talking about now, not now. In my early years, I got saved as a kid and I got baptized at 9. I definitely heard God's call into ministry at the age of 9 years old. I got baptized on a brick because I was too short for the water level of the baptism pond. And it was called a font in those days, but we call it a pond. And I remember a distinct call of God in my life. But I always struggled throughout my life with consistency. I always struggled with my walk with Jesus. I always found that I was fighting against myself and that I was not doing what other people were doing. And so there were people in my life that were part of my group that we were in, and they were like just hearing God, and they were always in the Word. And I just kind of, I love God's Word. I love God's Word dearly. But I'm just, personality-wise, I'm not that. And I felt the pressure to change who I was to line up with what I'd seen others become and who they were. And I struggled. I mean, I'll get some things right, and then I would drop other things. And then you add to that a marriage and parenthood, and you're trying to juggle all these things in your life. And if you're working, you have a career that you're trying to juggle all these things, and you want to keep your focus on Jesus, and it becomes difficult. And for me, I struggled with the balance. If I got one thing right, then the other thing would drop. And so, like, you know, and basic things like keeping the car clean and tidy. As a youngster, I was rubbish at that. I was rubbish at putting petrol in the light came on the dashboard and I just blended in with all the other lights, and then suddenly we ran out of fuel. I was embarrassed because I got a young wife and she's going like, and I don't want to push her. She, in the middle of town, and you're embarrassed because you're pushing the car now. So I said, no, you just go and blend in with all the people and I'll push this car. It was a little Ford Escort, little 1300. Remember those ones, a little Mark 1, little rear-wheel drive. And I did that a number of times because I don't know what it is with blokes. We always got to test to see how far that can go before we put fuel in. I don't know what we think we're going to win. So I've just got cleverer in my old age. You know what? It's stupid. Just put petrol in and you'll be okay. Why risk it? We always want to see how far we can risk it. And so I was like out of balance. So I'd mess up there and then I'd be serving the Lord flat out. And then Abby would go like, you're not paying enough attention to me. So I'd go, okay, Lord, can and then I'd be paying her attention. And then I'm feeling a tug saying, so I had this issue with balance, trying to keep a balance in my life. And I think all of us face that. And I don't know if it came here, the prayer wheel for a quiet time for 1 hour had a scripture in the middle. There was a circle in the middle, said, what, can't you pray with me for 1 hour? It was already putting condemnation on you. And then it had it all divided into praise. It went according to the Lord's Prayer, and it had a whole lot of wheels, and they were all like 10 minutes long or 5 minutes long, and you had to do that. And then by the time you got to the end of that, you'd have prayed for an hour. I could never get that right. Well, I was rubbish at it because it was like I tried, but then something else would happen and get distracted. And then you start feeling hungry and you think, jeepers, is there something in the fridge? Because that's just so I always struggled with balance. And I fell into the trap of comparison. And I compared myself with others, and comparison always leads to condemnation, doesn't it? You always feel bad because, oh, look at that person. But can I tell you, not everybody's got it all together all the time. Okay, set you free. Even in church, people like to look like they've got it all together, but nobody's got it all together all the time. We all have our stuff. We've all got our issues. We've all got our cross to bear, and we've got to hang in there, and we've got to keep trudging. Sometimes that's what it is, eh? You know that Robin Hood, to trudge. Wasn't it? Not Robin Hood, it was Knight's Tale, to trudge. Chaucer, to trudge. And he kept trudging. So I discovered a truth that set me free. Do you want to hear it? Because I think it'll help. You sure you want to hear it? Because it might not be the most mind-blowing revelation you've ever had. I think this. I think that God works in us through our personalities. I think he knows you because he made you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he is able to deal with us through our unique personalities. And so for us to compare ourselves with others, we do ourselves a huge disservice. And I think we short-circuit what God wants to do in our lives. Instead, we are to surrender ourselves to him. Romans 12, verse 1, to present ourselves to him as living sacrifices. Then, he says, then you will be able to discern what God's will is. His perfect and pleasing will. It's a surrendering of you, not somebody else, you. And you come to him as you are and say, Lord, here I am. You know my personality. You know my strengths and weaknesses. You know how sometimes I can concentrate and then I lose it. You know all of these things about me. You know that I'm not the most regimented person. I'm not. I'm a weird mixture of some things. Abby has to have, in terms of food, she can't do the same, eat the same food every day. She wants variety. I'm happy to eat the same thing for lunch every single day. I'm good with that. But in other things, I need loads of variety. I need a lot happening. And we had lockdown in South Africa, but hard lockdown. We were, I think you guys were, I'm not sure, but we couldn't go anywhere for a month. And Abby was loving this. And it was a novel idea from day one and two. After day three, I'm going, I need to have a coffee with somebody. I can't do this. These walls are cramping my style. I've got to get out there and go and enjoy company. I mean, I had Abby, but you know what? I needed to get out and go and have a chat with somebody over a coffee and just see some friends. And Abby needed me to get out too. So we were grateful when we were able to. But what I'm saying is that God is able to work through all of our different unique aspects of our personality. And there's not a one-size-fits-all relationship with God. It's the same God, same Holy Spirit, same Jesus. He's called us the same way, but he works in us differently. And we have to understand that if we're going to be free in our following and listening and hearing of God's voice in our lives, because he speaks to us differently. He's never spoken to me, never called me son. He's never called me son, I want you to do this. He's never done that. Some people say God said to them at 2:30 in the morning. Now, I never wake up at 2:30 in the morning, and God never wakes me up and says, son. And if I do wake up at 2:30, I'm going straight back to sleep again. Might need to go to the loo, and then I'm back, curled up and sleeping again. I don't hear God in the early hours of the morning. I don't. That's me. Some people will call it ill-discipline. I just say I need to sleep. Ill-discipline is not getting to bed on time, but I need my sleep. And some people need more sleep than others. So I was comparing myself with somebody who could get by with 4 hours a night. And I think, oh, he's super holy and super, sanctified and everything. And I wish I could be like him. And I try. Then I walk around like a zombie because I haven't got enough sleep. So we're all different. And we got to respond to God in our personalities. And he loves our personalities. He created us. He gave us a personality. And we should love him through that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you want to quickly turn there, I'm going to read it. It's just a lovely verse, and it talks about who regards themselves as young. I'd do my hands up. Come on, Nan. Of course you are. Well, compared to somebody else you are, yes, there you go. We are all young, aren't we, in comparison, because age, exactly. She's young with loads of experience. So we are all young. We're young in the Lord. We're younger in the Lord than we are in our natural bodies. But we're all young. There's always somebody older. So, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 16. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. See what comparison does? Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Set an example for the believers. That's for all of us, friends. It's not just for the elders or for those who think they're leaders or are leaders. It's for everybody. We are to set an example for the believers, for our fellow brothers and sisters here. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which is given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Your life and what you believe. Watch that closely. So you get your life to line up with your doctrine. We don't get doctrine to line up with our lives. We let the Bible dictate the terms, and we try our hardest to line up. So I always believe that we have this straight, dead, straight plumb line. If you're a builder, you'll know what a plumb line is. It's a piece of gut with a weight on the end. And when you hang it from a point above the ground, it will always fall in an exactly vertical position. So we have this plumb line, which is God's word, perfectly straight. And then we have this thing that we call life, and it's it's all like this. It's a mess. And what we've got to do, when you watch your life and doctrine, you try and bring those two together so that your life kind of lines up. Sometimes there are consequences from past mistakes that we make where we struggle, but mostly we're trying to do this to get our lives to line up. And that's the journey that we're all on, all of us. All of us are on that journey. And nobody should compare themselves with somebody else's journey, because it's your journey. And God is working it out in you. He works. Paul says I think it's the Philippians, says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. It's a daily walk where we're bringing our life and our doctrine together. He says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So it's a perseverance. It doesn't come easy. It's a walk. It's a disciplined getting in there, doing it every day. And that's what, as prophetic people, we want to do that. We want to line ourselves up with what God is wanting to do in our lives, but through our personalities, our uniqueness. We don't want to throw away our uniqueness. That's what cults do. Cults throw away people's unique individuality. And the beautiful thing about the body of Christ is that all this diversity comes together, and we serve one goal and one purpose, one Lord, one Master, one baptism, one faith. It's beautiful. Prophetic people, hear his voice and obey him. John 10, verse 3 to 4 and verse 27. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Prophetic people, hear the voice of God. And we read that Psalm 139, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. And when God's thoughts, they are far more numerous than the grains of sand on the seashore. And he speaks that to us daily. So I want to get down to how we actually hear God's voice. Kind of drill down into that. Because there really are three options. There are three options. Either it's me, it's my head talking, or it's the devil, or it's God. Those are the three options we have. It might be your wife, but you know, you don't listen anyway, so what does that matter? No, I'm joking. It might be somebody else, but that would come through your head. If you're in a time of prayer, can I say this? It'll eliminate a few of them. First of all, if it's the devil, he's not going to tell you to do what you should be doing. So you can eliminate that one. We pretty much know what that's going to sound like, okay? Because we've been there before. We know the narrative. We know how it all runs. That's not God. We can almost certainly rule that one out. So is it me or is it God? Those are the other two things. And so there's some tests that we can go through. But the key here is to stop comparing with other people. Because you can't hear God if you're trying to be like somebody. You can't hear God if you're trying to live your life as if you were somebody else. How would they do it? There's nothing wrong with mentoring, but when it comes down to you hearing God's voice for you, it's unique to you. So, comparison, I think, diminishes our gratitude. Comparison, as I said, leads to discouragement and condemnation. It'll stop us living in the present. It'll cause us to give up. Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is gain. We've got to be content in our walk with him. We've got to be at rest in our walk with him. Not striving, not trying to be who we're not. Content. Everybody has 24 hours a day. You have to find your slot. All of us. You can say, I haven't got time to spend with God. You have. We all have. It's just a matter of prioritizing how we spend our time. Because we all have time. We all have 24 hours. Everybody's got the same amount of time. Yeah, you might have a job that you know, requires a lot of your time, and that's fine. But we ultimately are the ones who decide how our time is spent. So everyone has a personality. Find out how yours works. Because there will be a key there. Everyone has opportunities and challenges. You can't say, it's, you know, you don't know what living in Liverpool's like. Well, I don't, because I don't live here. But you don't know what living in Hilton's like. We all have our challenges and we all have our opportunities. You can't say that I'm a disadvantage because I live in Hilton or because I live in Liverpool. No, you can't. We are all, as Abby said, I think it's brilliant that we are called to be at this place at this time for a season, for a purpose. And God has got you here for the sake of his kingdom. What are we doing with where he's put us? Because we're not just here by accident. We're not just here because I was born and grew up in this town. No, I'm here because God put me here. And what is it that you want me to do here, Lord? Who is it that you want me to impact while I'm here? Because I might be called somewhere else. And we have a lot of people in South Africa suddenly hearing God calling them to other places because things are a bit tough there. And we have decided to stay. We believe it's our home and we believe God has called us there. And whatever comes at us, we will stand because we're called to be there. We believe that. We are convinced of that fact. And so God moves people around to wherever he wants. You look through the whole of the New Testament. Paul was continually on the move. Priscilla and Aquila moved numerous times, took their business with them to go and set up and support a ministry. They did that because that God was on the move and he was using them. And they were there. They were their role was to finance Paul's ministry. So they took their business with them and they employed him from time to time. Tent making, they had a business. And so there was this flexibility, this movement as God directed and led people to do certain things. Same with us today. We've got to keep our eyes and ears open so that we can hear what he's saying. So how do we hear God's voice? I think number one, we've got to have a quiet place, a still place. You know, the word of God says, be still and know that I'm God. You've got to find a quiet place. And I think it's got to happen daily. You say, well, you don't know what my home's like. I have a toddler who wakes up at 3 a.m. and there's no quiet place. Well, then adjust it. There might be another time. Our kids have all flown the nest, so we have a pretty simple life at home. And I get up early and I put on a pot of freshly ground coffee. My little daily routine. And it's a one cup because Abby doesn't drink coffee. And I grind it with a hand grinder. Not because I'm a coffee snob, just because I like working for a pleasure. And I grind my coffee and I measure it out perfectly, tap it down a little bit, put some hot water in there, put it on the gas, listen for that little shh, and then I see it come out over this and I go, yes, this is going to be a good one. And I take it off, pour it off, and I have my coffee, and then I go and sit. In the summer, we can go and sit outside on our deck under the trees, birds are chirping, sun's just coming up, beautiful, spend an hour. Sometimes maybe less than an hour, depending on what the day's program is. But that's where I like to be. It's a quiet place. And I can hear God talk. And I keep a little book open. And I just write. I use my iPad to write notes. I have a whole thing in my notes, just ideas that God has just throws. And I just put them down. Just catch them. You know, if the Beatles never wrote down the lyrics to their songs, they wouldn't be the Beatles. You've got to have stuff ready. If God's speaking, you've got to have stuff ready to write them down. Because the worst thing is to get into, oh, God, I had this song, man. How does it go? I forgot, man. I forgot. It would have been a hit, man. It would have been gold. I can't remember. How many songs could have been hits that didn't make it because the guys forgot the words? Or they got the melody wrong? So we got to write these things down. So listen, find us a quiet place. So in our busy, crazy lives, we've got to find a place of peace that we can just be. Welcome the Holy Spirit. So simply by saying, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Come and speak to me. Come and commune with me. You have to do that. If you can't get that right every day, at least do it once a week where you can have some quality chunk of time. Some people have different, so you work it out, how it fits for you. There's no one size fits all. Just because I do this 4 or 5 days a week doesn't mean that everybody has to. Do what works for you and with your personality and your temperament. And then you've got to look. You've got to fix your eyes on Jesus. So first of all, you've got to be still, quiet yourself down. You've got to look. You've got to fix your eyes on Jesus. Use the eyes of your imagination. Picture Jesus. I do that because I'm visual. I'm a visual person. I like painting. I like art. So I see things. And whenever I read the Bible, there's a video playing in my head because I like movies and I like visual stuff. And so I imagine Jesus being there. And I can't say that. You know, the oil paintings that we've had of his face over the centuries have been any help. Because they're a little bit insipid, some of them. Hey, he's got this sort of, I see him as a happy person who's full of life and full of possibility and full of just wanting to go. I see Jesus as that, as a happy person. But however it works for you. Sometimes we've been told it's bad to use our imaginations, but I think that's how God speaks. I really do believe that he speaks to us through our imagination. If we are to be prophetic people, if we are to see the future, we've got to be able to dream, for goodness sake. We've got to be able to dream. We've got to be able to see what could be. You know, this music team here this morning wasn't just an accident. Jed had it on his heart to do last week. And I think it's a prophetic picture of something that we're aiming for. And we're praying that in the prayer meeting. You guys are going, yes, yes, yes. We want it. God, let us dream. And so we've got to fix our eyes on something. And we dream about what the future could be. And when we see it, we write it down. And then we go like, I'm going to prepare for that now. And then I will become it. This isn't positive thinking. This is how prophetic people function. We don't just go with the status quo or just que sera, sera, whatever will be. No, we are God's people. We are here for a reason and a purpose. We are placed here for this time. What is it he wants you to do and to be involved in? What is it he's giving you to see into the future as his prophetic people? And then number three. So we be still, we look, then we listen. Got to listen. Some people, when they go to God and pray, it's like a shopping list. I want this and bless that and do this and do that. And he's not your genie in a bottle. Your wish is my command. That's not God. We come to him. And we should say, God, what do you want from me? How do you want me to position myself and my life and arrange my priorities to fit with your agenda? That's how we come to God. Not you do. You know, God's not going to bless everything you want him to bless. He blesses what he wants. You can't say come with your plan. He blesses his own plans, not your plans. And so that's where the prosperity gospel's got it so wrong, because it's like my plans, I declare, God blesses, and that's not how it works. He's sovereign, friends. God is sovereign. And we serve him. He doesn't serve us. And His mission for you is not to have a cushy life. It's to get a job done. And in the process of that, yes, we will experience blessings, because it's good to be blessed in order to be a blessing. But the point is of our Christian life is not that he will bless you. It's that there's a job for you to do. For all of us. So we listen. We tune into his spontaneous flow. There's a spontaneous flow. And sometimes you may not be able to hear it or get it immediately, but if you persevere, you will hear it. Just write it down. Even if it's a random thought, you think, oh, well, I don't know where this is going. Write it down. You never know. Might be God speaking. You go back in a week or two and you go like, wow, he did that. What? What a coincidence. No, not a coincidence. He did it because he said he was going to do it. Come on. I think I'm preaching to God. The back is getting fired up. Amen. So we listen. We write it down. Keep a journal, a book, or a notepad, or whatever it is. So that's how we become a prophetic people. So we be still. Let me go through those ones again. Be still. Look. Listen. Write it down. And on my iPad, I've got a little thing on my notes. It just says ideas. And I just put anything that comes through this time, I write down there. Sometimes it becomes a sermon or a preach or a teaching. Sometimes it'll be direction. It will become what God wants it to be. I don't determine that. Only he does. But I've got to be the vessel. And so in order to be a prophetic people, we need to position ourselves in the correct space. Prophetic people see the future, prepare for the future, and become the future. Can you imagine for a minute? I'm winding down now, be another minute. Can you imagine how your life would change if you got this right? Imagine. If you knew God's love and affirmation every day, instead of condemnation and a feeling of being judged. Be amazing, wouldn't it? Imagine not feeling like God was always angry with you. like you were on the wrong side of his grace. Friends, the cross changes all of that. And yet we tend to want to go back to feeling guilty. We'll never be a prophetic people if we're not, if we're living under guilt. Guilt's from the enemy, it's not from God. I think revival would start deep down in our hearts. Honestly do. And I think that that revival would be unstoppable. And I think it would be highly contagious. Isn't that what we want? I hope that encourages you, blesses you, stirs you, challenges you, and causes you to say, Lord, I want more of what you have. In Jesus' name, amen.